Of all the places I go and all the things I do and all the people that come forward after I preach or evangelize, there's one prayer that most ask for. David. The devil's destroyed my family. I don't have a relationship with my kids anymore, with my husband, with my wife, with my sister's brothers. And I'm struggling. What are we talking about? We're talking about the reason for destruction is secrets. Secrets in the family. Dark secrets. And these secrets are designed to do one thing and one thing only. To protect against the dark, deep evil passed on from generation to generation, infecting the children who grow up, and then they have children, then they infect their children with these deep, dark secrets. And these secrets come in many fashions, many forms, many shapes, many colors, some darker than others. But what it does do at the end of the day, it destroys the person, destroys the family. Satan loves this. He loves secrets. How do I know? Because Scripture talks about it. Scripture talks about secrets. Really? Maybe I can keep a secret. That's the problem. You can keep a secret. You shouldn't keep a secret. The problem is we keep secrets within the family and we keep secrets from God as if God doesn't know what we're doing, what we're thinking, what we're saying. Let's go to Luke 12, 2 and 3. Luke 12, 2, 3. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the rooftops. Folks, you can't hide anything from God. But we try to, thinking, oh, God's not going to see this. And then it extends to our relationships with people. And in this case, I'm talking about the family. And no one's exempt. Matter of fact, I'm going to bring my wife on. She comes from what I would call, if there's such a thing, the picture-perfect church-going family, right? Pretty shielded. And you all know that I don't believe that any of that's true, meaning nobody can be picture-perfect. But to draw an analogy, you know, about the worst thing that ever happened to my wife, the toughest thing is me, right? I'm probably, it's like my mom says, I'm the only hell my mama ever raised, right? I'm going to bring Shanita on. Hey, Shanita.
Well, you are definitely by far the best thing that's ever happened to me. But yeah, I was blessed with an incredible childhood. I mean, raised with security and affirmation and just love without conditions. And
you just gave
such a great representation of our Heavenly Father.
Absolutely. And you know, I love your mom and dad. You know, I think the world of them. Not sure they think the world of me, but that's another story. Folks, a Hollywood guy comes along and, you know, proposes marriage to a girl that has never really dated before, went to Christian college, all that. You figure that one out, how that would go. But they tolerate me, and I think they kind of love me. But here's the deal. I love them, but, you know, I looked at your family from a distance, and you all, there's certain things you don't talk about, you know? And I'll say, why don't you talk about that? And you go, well, we just don't talk about it. And I go, but that's your brother, that's your mother, that's your dad. And it seems like there's some type of white elephant in the room or things you don't talk about. Again, I don't want to get into anybody's dirty laundry. That's not what I'm trying to do. But do you feel like even among family like yours, picture perfect, that there's secrets, things you don't talk about?
Yeah, I think there's always the things you want to put on the back burner or pretend that don't exist.
Ah, that's it. Pretend that don't exist. Thank you very much. That is the key to what I want to talk about. All right, Shanita. All right, I appreciate it. We're going to bring you back later and pray for people and hear praise reports. And
yes,
you know, so good to have you. And anyway, love you. Appreciate you.
Love you.
Yeah. Pretend like it doesn't exist. That's what I needed to hear. That's what I'm looking for. We pretend like it doesn't exist, these deep, dark secrets. Like I said, folks, these are generational curses. Maybe you have them in your family. Maybe you have them in your life. And we carry it on to our relationships. When we grow up walking on eggshells, afraid to say something or pretend like it doesn't happen, we find somebody we can date or marry that's the same way, thinking that maybe we're going to fix them because, I don't know, our childhood was shattered. But tonight our guest is here to testify against the satanic powers of deep, dark secrets by telling her story. The deep, dark secrets of her family, mother, father, brother, uncle. We're talking about, we're going to go deep, program multiple victim SRA, MK Ultra, human trafficking, violation, intimately violated. She considered herself a throwaway woman at one time because of the abuse. Because of what Satan was able to accomplish in these secrets. But she's not a throwaway woman. She's God's woman. And she's here to tell her story so that two things happen. People can get healed and God can be glorified. All right? Started as a baby. 5 years old. It started with her as a baby. I want to bring on my guest tonight, Miss Natalie. Natalie, how are you doing?
Brilliant.
Good.
Excited. You look brilliant.
Yeah, you look brilliant. So I want to get right into it. Before we get into 5 years old in a hospital, what happened to you? Before we get into that, I just want to talk about the deep, dark secrets, how that affected your life. Now, I don't want to go into specific things. We're going to talk about that. But did these secrets destroy your childhood per se and also affect your relationship with other people later on?
100%. Yes. The secret keeping was modeled. So at five, you know, as a young child, there were secrets kept. I had no idea. Well, of course, it was secret. There were things, but in the background in my parents. So sins of the father and the mother, just bubbling in the, you know, beneath the surface. And then there was the things that happened to me that were kept secret. And then the things that I saw happening that were kept secret.
And then you learned as a child, as an adult, to keep secrets. I mean, that was part of in your DNA, right? Keep secrets.
I just wanted to say I learned to lie. So secrets are lying by omission. And then the other thing was the major message was always tell the truth. So paradoxically, yeah. That was being said, the other was being modeled.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. In other words, do what I say, don't do what I do. Right. Sounds like a lot of politicians and preachers in these Six Flags Over Jesus churches. All right, folks. Yes, 5 years old in a hospital. You were 5 years old, Natalie, in a hospital with a male doctor, 40, in his 40s. What happened to you at 5 years old in the hospital?
I was taken in for tonsils. I was told I'd be given all the ice cream and jello that I wanted, but I woke up in a private room, in a large, empty private room. And nobody came. And it changed my life. I woke up from the anesthesia absolutely destroyed. And I felt this cloak of darkness had come upon me. When the deep darkness was injected, let's say, through the PEDO. Actions.
Yeah. So I want to talk about this, what this evil doctor did to her, in the hospital. We're not going to get into details, but we do want to talk about it. You were taken advantage of, violated intimately as a 5-year-old in the hospital by a doctor who was in his 40s. Folks, you know what that means, violated, and you know what it means to be intimately violated. 5 years old. You woke up as a changed little kid. Why did you feel like that happened? What do you think was behind that, that incident, that event?
I felt shame. I absolutely felt shame. And I had never felt it like that. It was like I was shame. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I was just changed. I just became absolutely depressed from that time forward.
Yeah.
And I waited. My parents were told, like my mom, I was never visited, and they kept me in there about 5 days. They said I had an infection. So I was kept 5 days in a private room until finally my kindergarten teacher came with a couple little kids with a card, and she was my angel of light, but I wasn't missed at home.
I think there's something behind it, but I don't want to get into it right now. I want to revisit it in just a moment, but I want to continue on with your journey here. Your brother, you have a brother, you and your brother. He was also intimately violated by two uncles. How old was he when this happened?
He was 15.
15.
So we're 7 years apart.
Okay. So here you have a situation where you're 5 years old, violated in the hospital, 5 days there, no explanation, but I do want to go back and touch on it. Your brother's 15 years old. He's violated intimately by two uncles. Is this on your dad's side? Brothers on your dad's side or your mom's side?
Dad's side.
Dad's side. Okay. So two violations, intimate violations, within a family unit. Okay. So there's something going on here, Natalie. And again, I don't want to go down the road right now because I want to continue with your journey and then I want to circle back around. But let's talk about your mom, because already we know that this is a very, very dark, dysfunctional family unit. And a lot of us have those dysfunctional family units, but you happen to be my guest. But there's a reason for that. And also when these things happened, 5 years old, 15 years old with your brother, nothing was ever talked about. It kept a secret. So usually I always tell people, if you want to see the problems kids are having, let's look at the parents. You want to talk about the kids? Let's look at the parent. You know, when I was a social worker years ago, that was my first job, probably my only job. I was a social worker. I dealt behavior modification with children. I worked in the forensic unit, which is children that had committed heinous crimes or couldn't function within society or even within the hospital. And I would deal with children that were, you know, violated intimately. They were horrifically physically abused and so forth. And I would all the time say, let's bring the parents in. Let's talk to the parents. 9 times out of 10, Natalie, I could tell you what the problem was by looking at the parents. So let's talk about your mom. Your mom shamed you as a young girl. Tell me, how old were you? How did she do that? Give me some details on that.
Basically, she was just super checked out. A word was given to me in the last 5 years that said in a, like a Christian Holy Spirit informed session, it said she was incapable.
Okay.
She was incapable. And that really helped me later in life. But during the time, it was just this indifference. And then active rejection. Just, I was the target. I think I was a lot like her. And often the parent will target the child that's most like them. It was just active rejection, like just this searing communication with her eyes of rage.
Okay.
And she carried rage because of her own experiences.
All right. But what would she say to you? She called you names. What did she say to you?
She said a repeated thing was, what is wrong with you? Said in a seething manner.
Uh-huh.
So when my cousin died and I stood there shocked, that was what she said. She dug her fingers into my arm and said, "What is wrong with you? You're so cold."
Okay. Did she ever shame you sexually? Did she ever call you any names that was in regards to your sexuality?
Yes, that was always there were dirty magazines all around, so I would read them because they were around. And then she'd come into my room seeing that I was reading her dirty material, and then she would just get this kind of smile and at the same time kind of this, you know, you're bad. You know, you shouldn't be reading that. But then she'd let me read it.
Yeah. What material was that? What magazines was that?
She had some Playgirl under her bed. She didn't see me view that. But the other was just basically Harlequin and some other hardcore BDSM kind of stuff.
Well, that's even worse. Oh my gosh.
In a book.
Yeah, in a book. Yeah, having you read that. So what she was doing, I'm just projecting this. I'm not saying you're going to agree with it. We're just talking. Is that she had her own issues. Somewhere she was shamed as a child. And now she's putting material out. She's reading this stuff, putting it into her brain, but she's leaving it out for you so that you can read it, so she can catch you reading it. So somehow she can fix her own shame by shaming you. You know, sometimes it's called toxic shame. When we shame other people because we were shamed, we get a rush on it. It's like taking a heroin, a drug, because for split seconds, it makes us feel powerful. It makes us feel good. And then we drop down even lower. We drop down even. So it's this vicious cycle of toxic shame. If you guys haven't read Bradshaw on the Family, a book, read that. It's one of the things we were required to read as social workers and psychology and so forth. But okay, so let's move on here. There were secrets in your family, and of course, all these things your mom did, the secrets. By the way, your mother, was she, no, I don't want to get into her right this second. I want to go to your father, okay? Something happened to your father that was something that was a secret that you guys never even knew about your dad, but you finally found out about it. What was that all about?
Yeah, found out when I was about 14, my father had been married and we had two half sisters that he suffered in not seeing. They were 4-hour drive away. But he never went to visit them. And so he suffered with this parental alienation. And my mother was very jealous later on when one of the sisters came and tried to reestablish, she was rejected violently.
Sisters meaning your half sister, right? You're talking about one of his children. So let me lay this out so we understand. Your mother and father get married, have two kids, you and your brother. And as you all are growing up, just 3-4 hours down the road, he has another family that he had before he married your mother and had you all. He had another family unit, two kids, two children, but he never even reached out to them, right?
And the other thing was my parents weren't married. They pretended to be married.
Oh, well, that's another layer. Okay. But they're living together.
And I had a sister also. Yeah. I had a sister also.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is all secret stuff. It's almost like they're living different lives. Like, you know, you take on another personality, like nothing's real. How old were you when you found out your dad had another family and you had half brothers and sisters?
14.
Wow. Wow. And your half sister even tried to come and make amends or somehow try to tie things together. And your mother now says, no. She's jealous. I don't want talking about your husband or her person she's not married with, but your dad. No, I don't want you.
Yeah, she never said the words, but she just rejected her so rudely and violently. She just left.
How old were you when you found out your parents weren't even married?
That at kind of around that time.
14. Did they ever get married?
They did. They did later on. My mom had a cancer scare. And so my dad married her.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about your mom again. Circle back around. Again, you know, your mother's a victim of her upbringing, right? She was raised in a religious community, was she?
Yeah.
What was she?
Yeah, Seventh-day Adventist. Seventh-day Adventist, very, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child, was really intense.
Yeah, I figured that. A lot of times coming from religious background, not relation, but religious backgrounds can really warp a child. So what was behind that? What was the secrets and the sin behind that as she was growing up as a child?
Basically, my mom was just really outspoken and aggressive, like as a child, and she wouldn't adhere, you know, she wouldn't follow the rules. And so the beatings just got to be really extreme from her dad.
I mean, so she was beaten by her dad. Okay.
She was beaten badly with a belt.
With a belt.
Like my grandfather would lose it and go into a blind rage. And
okay. So rage and abuse, that we're identifying the sins now, the secrets, right? Some tells me that might have tied into her sexuality. Was she ever abused or what went on with these beatings?
She said, she's alluded to things, but she said that her pants were pulled down as a 16-year-old. Everything was pulled down, and she was like from the top of her head to her feet. She was beaten that badly, and then she left the house after that.
Oh my!
And God. Went and lived with friends as a 16-year-old, and that was it. She never went back.
Oh my goodness! Wow. You know, Natalie, I've interviewed a lot of people and they've had a lot of situations in their life. I have not encountered that at 16 years old, a teenager in puberty, trying to figure out life, and she's coming into her own sexuality. She gets humiliated by a monster father who strips her naked and beats her, just beats her. I mean, can you imagine what that does to a young girl? I get rage on that. It's not like it would, I mean, you know, violated intimately is one thing, and that's bad. I'm not trying to excuse that at all. But when you beat somebody that's naked, that's a shame that is in a category of its own, don't you think?
You know what, David? I'm crying for the first time about that because I've never verbalized this, and I finally get it with you reflecting back. You know, I finally like really have more compassion for my mom. Like I know, but I'm feeling it. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. And it's okay. Awful. It's okay to cry, Natalie, because this is what this is all about, is for the Holy Spirit to touch us, and that we can cry and we can let our hurt come out, you know, and I believe right now the Holy Spirit's working, that your mother at 16 years old, a young girl, and this happens to her and it's over and she puts her clothes back on and her thought process. It's like I talked about in an earlier broadcast about angels with broken wings. Your mother was an angel with a broken wing. Her father broke her wing, just busted it into 1,000 pieces, but she had nowhere to go because she was going into a religious world of Seventh-day Adventists. And I'm not putting them down, but like I mentioned in my earlier broadcast, I was broken too. And I was drinking at 14 years old. And my dad wanted to drag me into church and not even talk about my problem, you know? And so your mother had a broken wing, not excusing what she did to you, but now we're understanding how the stuff is passed on. So do you think the fact that she was shamed like that, beaten, stripped naked at 16 years old by her dad, it'd be different maybe if it was her mom. I mean, still horrific, but do you think the fact that happened to her would cause her to clam up and be secretive and not want to, she wouldn't want to tell anybody, would she? That's embarrassing.
And she rejected God too.
Yeah.
You know, it's because my grandpa was like the head of the household. Right. So she rejected God. And so did my father reject God because he had so many hits in his life.
Right.
Tragedy.
Why would
it made him lose faith?
Why would your mother not reject God? Here, an authority figure of the church strips her, beats her naked at 16 years old. I mean, what does she think God would do to her? You know, Natalie, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm so much do appreciate Natalie. Folks, we're talking about something so important, deep, dark secrets. Do you have them in your family? Maybe you've carried them on through your life. If so, we need to expose these things, lay them down at the cross, because Jesus died for us. His blood covered those secrets, meaning we don't need to have them anymore, okay? And so we come back, I'm going to be talking to Natalie about how this got passed on in her life. She had a son that was kidnapped. And what happened to him? So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
When you donate to this ministry, I can honestly tell you that we talk about things the church won't. I do my best. I do my best to get the word out, and so does Shanita. And anything that you can give that God lays on your heart would be appreciated. It keeps us going. It keeps this show going. It keeps us traveling to pray for people. And it's just much appreciated. DavidHebner.tv/give. Consider becoming a monthly partner. You can call 844-806-0006, or you can text the word CHOSEN to 91999.
Yeah, please consider donating to the ministry. I would appreciate that. Keeps us going. We do have expenses and bills we got to pay. And I thank you for all your encouragement, everybody. But you can go to davidhebner.tv/give. If you need prayer, call 844-806-0006. We have a prayer team that meets. Shanita can take your prayer request. Thank you so much. And also, too, if you guys have an old car or land or a house or junk laying around, it'll bless this ministry and it'll bless our ministry if you want to donate it, 855-500-RIDE or 844-277-HOME. That would be great. I appreciate it. Don't forget about David Hebner TV. You can go with us underground. We've got over 1,000 shows with all these different people. Restas, R.L.A. Marzulli, Michael Lake. I mean, so many different programs here. Folks, we have live television, okay? And we spent a lot of money on this just for you. So please utilize it. Please tell somebody about it. Please sign up. You can watch Last Evangelist Episode 1 and Last Evangelist Episode 2. It would sure bless the ministry, and it also blesses others, okay? So I want to thank you all for being here. I want to bring Natalie back on. We're talking about deep, dark secrets. Natalie, we talked about your mother, how she was shamed, why she shamed you, because she did, and now this demon, because of secrets, has been passed on into your life. You had a son, and he got kidnapped. Tell me about that, and tell me what happened to him.
Well, the whole journey with my kids was an extremely broken one. So, you know, domestic violence and parental alienation. So, where the spouse uses the children as a weapon against the targeted parent. And in my case, I had three children with two different fathers. And both of them ended up using parental alienation and moving my first two children, my former partner moved them to an island. So he was twice my age. That was where my kids were basically kidnapped. They were taught not to call me mom. They were taught to call me by Lisa, which was my name before. And they were, 18 months and three-ish at that time. So that was a few years of having my kids basically stolen and programmed that I wasn't their mom.
Yeah. So you said your name is Lisa. Was that your original? Was that your birth name, Lisa?
Yes. Yeah. It was Lisa Marie. In my book, Unsilenced, I changed it to Sarah because they wouldn't allow me to use my real name.
Okay. How'd you end up with Natalie?
Well, the Lord instructed I change my name around 2008, 2009. And so I went to he kept directing me to go to this place. And so I went there and we created this name.
That's fine. In the Bible, Saul was Paul. Abram was Abraham. My uncle, when he finally reclaimed his birthright, which was an Israeli citizen, because my mother's Jewish, he was Jewish. He changed his name from Brent to Ben. Nothing wrong with that. I don't think that's anything wrong with that at all. So he was kidnapped, but you finally reconnected with him. But he was on the street for 26 years? Addicted to what? What was he addicted to?
There's actually two different instances. The situation you're talking about was later on, from 2011 mm-hmm. to 2017. That was a situation with my youngest son, and where his father was basically just absolutely trying to destroy our connection. It's a pretty complicated web, but my son was absolutely destroyed by that abusive relationship. The dad would wake him up, make him dumpster dive in the middle of the night. He just humiliated him to the nth degree for years, and I kept trying to rescue him. But, David, that's his story about that period of time,
uh-huh.
but that time of spiritual warfare, I was finally sober, and the Lord kept giving me, the Holy Spirit kept directing me and, communicating with him from Alberta to British Columbia over the phone, trying to influence him, trying to reach him.
Was he was addicted on the streets as an addict? What was he addicted?
After he left his father, I don't even want to say what he was addicted to hard drugs.
Hard drugs.
And okay. It's an absolute miracle that he survived 2 years on 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a teenager.
Okay. So we see how these secrets and how this generational curse has been passed on. Okay. Of course, we're going to get to your restoration in just a moment, but I want to continue this journey if we can. All right, now I want to talk about Arkansas. I want to talk about Kathy O'Brien. I want to talk about your connection. We don't have to go in detail. As comfortable as you are, as you can be, you can tell me the story. You fell into the world of being an escort, okay? An escort. For you guys out there, you know what an escort is. It's not really an escort. It's an escort. Sexual favors, right? You were a massage therapist. You were in that world. So you were already entangled in a world of warped sexuality, trying to figure yourself out because the way you were shamed as a kid. as you grow up to be a teenager. How old were you when you got into that twisted, warped world of sexuality, into being a massage and an escort?
So this was a word curse that was put onto me. My mom, when I was a young teen, she would say, "You look like a streetwalker," with rage and just total rejection. And I just made a vow at that time. I said, you know, if that's what you think I am, that's what I will be. And that seed was way down deep in my heart. So when I, after being a teenage alcoholic, from like 14 to 19, when I moved to the big city, my first call was to just be an escort. I'll make the call, just dove right in. Wow. And it wasn't a long time that I was in that. I had an angel come along that kind of kept me from that pretty quickly. But then, you know, after a couple of years, I thought, how can I work without having a boss? And I had massage skills, a God-given gift of being able to massage people. So I started open shop innocently, wanting to just do massage. And then the guys, of course, I'm, you know, 19, 20-year-old girl, they started asking for things. And because I had no value whatsoever upon my sexuality, there was nothing precious or special. I'd been told by this older girl, she's like, "You give it away for free. Why don't you charge for it?" And to me, that made perfect sense. It's like, she's like, "You don't even like it. You know, you give it away for free, just charge for it." And I was like, that made perfect sense to me.
Right. Right.
And so that's what I did. And older men, you know, just I'd be drugged sometimes, like roofied, it's called, with a drug that makes you go unconscious, but you're still aware kind of thing. So just different RAPE kind of unconsensual situations happened.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked about you as 5 years old in the hospital with this, this evil doctor, and, that you were intimately violated. But then when you were a teenager, a little bit older, you were violated again by a girl. How old were you and how old was she? What happened?
Actually, that happened when I was 7 years old.
Seven.
So okay. That really twisted me. I was with my little girlfriend and we were hiking the back mountains behind our house. And there's an older girl up there and she had us both perform certain things upon her. And that absolutely twisted. I just remember like a knife in my guts from that time, just the pain in my solar plexus and trying to avoid this young woman in our town, in our tiny town. And me and my friend never talked about it again. And of course, I never told because I had no safe parent to tell secret. And I had no word for it.
Secret. You were in bondage of secret. You couldn't tell anybody. How old was the girl when this happened? The girl?
About 14, 15.
She's 14 or 15. Imagine what her childhood was like for her to take a 7-year-old girl's and basically you were intimately violated again. She had you perform certain things on her. We don't have to go into detail, but from a 14-year-old girl and you're 7 and your friend is 7. So you got, this is how demons meet demons. This is how demons work together. So you couldn't say anything about it because you were in a world of secretive behavior, I guess you might call it, you know. So now you end up as an escort, as a masseuse, and your sexuality is all whacked out. You don't know what to do with that. You're still in shame because your mother did this word game on you. And I talk about, and you mentioned it, that you can speak words upon people, their word curses. And what I believe, and I think you do too, is your mother cursed you at a young age by speaking curse words on you, words of curses. You're a slut. you're a tramp, you're no good. And all of a sudden that came on you. You agree?
100%.
Yeah. So therefore you go, well, hey, if she's calling me that, I must be that. So I'll go be that. I'll prove her right. Right.
Yeah. You know, that scripture, can I just interject that scripture that, you know, parents, do not bring your children to wrath. You know, it's not the whole scripture, but it's a warning in the Bible to not make your children wrathful. And for me, that was that seed of bitterness. Yeah. Like I covered it with a mask of being jovial and being funny, but deep down I had hatred big time.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to go into a little area here, and we're going to talk about it more in underground, because some of the things we're going to say, I only want to do it on underground because it's so fragile. Okay. but you met Kathy O'Brien. Kathy's in my book. I talked about her. And you had encounters with her and her partner, but these were not like, let's go to church encounters or let's go hang out. Without getting in detail, what happened with you and Kathy?
Basically, I was in a completely broken place. So absolutely demolished and dissociated. Had lost my kids to my abuser at that point. So there was a mind. Can I say that word?
Mind control. Yeah, you sure can. Mind control is fine. Haven't gotten kicked off the air for that yet. So go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. So there was a David Icke mind control seminar coming to Vancouver with Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips with their Transformation of America. And I thought, I was really intrigued by this kind of CIA mind, like all that stuff. So I went there, I listened to them, I approached them afterwards and gave them a card and said, I do massage, mobile massage. And so they called me and I went and I performed a massage for Kathy at their hotel, actually that night. And so that was the beginning of our connection. Because of my lack of parenting and because I had an orphan spirit, I was so lonely. I was just desperate for any kind of warmth or connection. And I really kind of hallucinated them to be like a mom and dad kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. We grasp for mom and dads who will nurture us and hope, you know, people. Was this a sexual massage or just a massage?
I came to the door and Kathy was wearing just a men's white shirt and that's it. Okay. And so I got the communication of where she was coming from with that.
Right.
And because of the abuse from the woman when I was young, I would just really dissociate around women with big breasts. Mm-hmm. I couldn't connect with women. I would just, because of the disconnection with the mother and then the female sexual abuse, I just flip out. I couldn't stay present. So anyway, yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
And, you know, being, after gaining all kinds of psychological knowledge later on, I know that they could see that I was extremely dissociated, fragmented, and just primed to be influenced,
mm-hmm.
easily influenced.
You were programmed multiple. You were programmed, I think, by design. I want to circle back around to that 5 years old. I think all this, Natalie, was a program. I think someone was programming you for a specific thing, but God intervened and God had his way and the devil lost a good right arm. Okay.
Thank God.
Devil Woo! Lost. Yeah. So the reason I asked is I kind of want to know where you're going with this. This wasn't just a massage. This was a intimate massage, right? That she was looking for.
That was the first contact. There were three contacts. That was the first one.
Right.
So that was the impression of, oh, she wants something sexual. Nothing sexual happened.
Okay.
But I ended up sleeping overnight. And we had like a pajama party and just went to sleep like mom and dad. So that was like a first kind of a safety, I think a safety test of just to get me comfortable with them.
And then what happened? What was the next level that led into the dark, deep, dark dungeons?
The next level was at that time I was all about mind manifestation. So with my mind, I was trying to like create free travel, free tickets, you know, without having the money. So I was like asking the universe to provide at that time and kind of God. But so I was wanting to travel, and a couple days later, Kathy calls me and she says, I've got plane tickets waiting for you at the airport. And my birthday was coming up on the May the 1st. And she said, the tickets are there. Come and join us in Vegas to celebrate your birthday. And I was like, yes, I will come. And yes, like this mind manifestation, my will, right?
Right. Right.
Working great. I'm so excited.
Yeah. So you went, what happened?
So basically, they picked me up. There was a absolute fairy tale programming. There was a limo. I was wearing my micro mini skirt. We like arm in arm, we all piled into the limo and I'm up through the ceiling, like the ceiling of the limo going down the strip like this, and champagne. And then we were up in the room. We went to the hotel room, and most of the trip was actually in the hotel room with the curtains drawn. And they did have a radio interview in Las Vegas that I actually attended with Mark and Kathy. And I waited outside while that interview happened in 1997 in May the 1st.
So you're in a hotel room, curtains drawn. What happened?
Yeah.
Was this, do you have a birthday party? What was it?
Thank you for asking. I always kind of lose my train of thought here. It was just, it was sex. It was pills. So she and I were having, we're having intimate involvement. He and I were having intimate involvement. There was prescription drugs. He was like popping pills like crazy. And, I'm pretty sure that that I was given pills and things were happening that I wasn't conscious of.
Yeah. So, Natalie, here's a person, Kathy, that deals with MKUltra, does interviews, does speeches, conferences, mind control. And here she is doing this to you. So it's like what she's talking about is the same thing that's happening to you. I don't want to go any more deeper than that. We're going to do it underground because I don't want to have any issues. And right now I'm on the border of issues, you know. But so we're going to talk about the underground mind control. So you guys join us on underground. Natalie, before we go, I do want to talk about one more thing I think is going to help us get through this struggle with your journey. And thank you for being so open, because it's really helping me. I've already been understanding my life, what I need to do. And what's happened to me is that you got pregnant in the year, I think it's around 2000, and you had a baby in your pregnancy, but then you decided to have an abortion, a late term abortion.
Yes, I did. I was in, you know, getting my psychology training, but I was still so split that I would, you know, I would get pregnant, and because I had no value for myself or anybody, really, that I would just, I didn't use birth control.
Right.
And so my doctor told me the last time, she was like, these procedures are not birth control. And that was the last procedure I ever had, and it was late. And it's one of the most shameful things I've ever done. I didn't think of the risk to my own life, and I didn't consider, you know, just how atrocious what happened was. But afterwards, that was one of the most profound moments of my life, and where God, after the procedure, I was just bawling and in such grief in my home, and and just curled up and just out of my mind with grief. And yeah, the hand of God punctured my ceiling, and his finger came through, and he tickled my ribs like the good father that he is. Wow. And I absolutely knew, like, I suppressed that for many years, and it was just a deep secret, secret, like the secret place, but in a good way. I knew that God was with me.
Yeah.
And that he loved me. After that, he was fatherly. He was kind.
Exactly. Exactly. You know,
and he comforted me.
Yeah. You know, the reason I wanted to bring that up is we've all been victims of that. There are many out there, women that have had abortions, guys that have been guilty of impregnating and going through with it, maybe even coaxing it on. And when we hear you talk about it and how you're at where you are now of trying to help other people and telling your story, it encourages me. It encourages me that no matter what happens, that there's always a God of forgiveness, always a God of love. And you know what? Your baby, and I want to put this up because I'm going to do a show on this. Your baby had an angel around it, Natalie. Your baby had an angel. And one day you're going to see your baby. Like, we're going to see our babies, the ones that have been miscarried and aborted. We're going to see them. They're going to smile and hug us, and we're going to be with them. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about it?
To be honest, David, like, this is the first time I have publicly admitted to this. It is in my book. And so many women do it. And I'm so happy that you're leading the conversation in this way. And I've been told, you know, that as women who have done this, to name the babies as part of our healing. And I really need to go there.
Yeah.
I need to allow my heart to go there. Right? To go that step, because it's still kind of unreal.
Yeah, you do. Is it too much to ask what you named your baby?
You know what? I never did. I have not yet.
Maybe
I'm going to, though.
Maybe we can give her a name. Lisa Marie, huh?
That was my name.
Talk about that. I want to know if you do. Let us know, please, here at David Hebner TV. Let us know what that name would be. Because, you know, see, here's my belief. And this is from me, scripture I've studied. I believe that children have angels. I know they do, because scripture says it. And I believe that when a baby doesn't quite make it into this world, the angel carries it back to God. So the baby is completely protected, 100%. It's us who suffer the pain. It's me who suffers the pain. It's not the baby. We sometimes worry about the baby. The baby is ushered in by angels, taken out by angels. But I want to know what that baby's name is when you decide to name it. So I'm excited about that. Natalie, we're out of time, but I want to bring Shanita on just to say hi. Shanita.
Wow. What amazing vulnerability, but beautiful pictures of Father interceding and embracing you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shanita. So much.
Thank you. Choosing to be unsilent. Yes.
God has led me to do a show maybe next Sunday on ladies that have gone through this, women, and also the guys that have gone through it too, because guys go through it. Mm-hmm. And so many have and don't even talk about it. They've been secretive. Right. To what happens during that time? What's it like? You know, because I think about that. I want to know. I want to know what was my child, what was it like? You know, and so I want to share with that what I believe God's given me. So anyway, Natalie, you have a book. Real quick, tell us about your book, and then we're going to go underground. We just got a minute here. How do people, what's the name of your book, and how do people get in touch with it?
Thank you, David. My book is took me almost 11 years to write. It's called Unsilenced: Use Your Voice, Words Hold Power. The Lord gave me that tagline like the last week, and he had to keep reminding me. He said, "It's the book is not about you, it's about me." And I was like, Lord, like we always want to make it about ourselves. Absolutely. But it really is. Oh, sorry. It really is about his divine intervention that preserved me. Yes. And just the slow turning, like if you can imagine, almost like the moon or this like turning from darkness to the light. It was that slow, slow turning of my life.
Yeah.
Wow. Face that's... him completely.
Tell me how real quick, how did they get in touch? How do they get the book?
They go to Amazon. You could just go Natalie Unsilenced. Natolie. It's spelled a little funny. My last name's Chilton, but that would be enough. And then I've got Breakup with Secrets, my website.com. If they want a signed copy, I have copies available too.
All right, good. And if you guys go underground, Natalie's going to be with us. Natalie, hang on. We're going to be with you in the minute on underground. God bless you so much. Mm-hmm. God bless you. What an incredible warrior for God, Shanita.
Wow. Yeah. Man.
I'm so blessed. We just have a minute. Praise report, prayer request.
Yeah, one of our praise reports just kind of reminds me of Father's hand reaching down and tickling Natalie. Terry has experienced so much loss, and she felt this lump that was getting bigger on her cat's neck, and she just prayed over it and said, you know, Yeshua, I don't know if I can handle any more loss. And now the lump is gone.
Wow, praise God. You can pray over an animal. An animal gets healed. Did that on Sunshine's hamster and was healed. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Okay, prayer request.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're praying for Rebecca's Aunt Jo and for a couple friends of hers dealing with hospitalizations, for her health, for Kay and Lori and for Rhonda's family and for friends up in New York and in BC. We are praying for you and love you very much.
Awesome. All right, Shanita. Appreciate it. Love you too. God bless you. All right, everybody. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for being here, praying for each and every person Shanita named and the one she didn't. We always pray for our children. Children caught up in human trafficking, runaways, children that have been abused, children that have been missing. I'm asking, Lord, that you put a special hedge of protection around all of our children. Save them. Bring them out of captivity. The mother who's thinking about getting rid of her child, she is now going to keep it. We're believing in these miracles all over the world right now that people will not end their children's, women will not end their children's lives, that they're going to have them, and that your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you so much. And I want to thank you guys so much for being here with me, for being part of the family, part of the ministry. And again, if you would sign up to David Hebner TV, go there and watch Last Evangelist. It's about Christian persecution. That's episode 2 about the vaccine. This is episode 1, winning a lot of awards on episode 1 too. And then also too, don't forget your My Blood, My Vaccine's the Blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit's My Booster t-shirt. And then don't forget the Last Evangelist hat that we have. We have the baby here with the Last Evangelist hat on. That's our Last Evangelist baby. And yeah, all right. Well, I appreciate you guys. And we're going to see in a few minutes underground. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with you.